Are you an insider? Subscribe to FC Insiders today to receive full unedited interviews, news, rumors, exclusive content, and more. Join FC Insiders at futurecommerce.fm. Future Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you realize that mobile shoppers spend 39% more time but less money on commerce websites compared to their desktop counterparts? There's a significant opportunity to improve mobile conversion rates while delivering a better buying experience. That is why PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators and High Conversion to uncover what changes help and hurt the mobile checkout experience. For details on the program, learnings to date, and how to get involved, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com. Welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Philip.
And I'm Brian.
We have your top stories of the week with a little taste and bent of the future. And Brian's joining us from Skype today. He's on the road traveling. Skype is sort of like a shorthand for he has crappy audio and you should forgive it.
Please forgive my audio.
Just forgive it. Okay. I think I went first last week. Maybe you go first this week. Do it.
Well, okay. So this was interesting. This is a, you know, tangential to commerce, but I think it's interesting and I want to talk about it. So
it's your show. You can do whatever you want.
I know, right? So this is interesting. A U.S. public school was planning to use facial recognition on its students. But the New York State Education Department told it to delay the usage because of all the reasons.
I mean, for all kinds of obvious reasons. A very small school district, by the way. Lockport City School District would be part of a an 8 school district, so a smallish district that would be part of a pilot project. With an Aegis system that would make it broadly operational by September 1st, 2019.
And that was using recognition by Amazon.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, why would you use anything else?
Hold on. I might be reading that wrong. I'm not sure if it's recognition or not.
Yeah, it sounds like the... Oh, no, it's just mentioned in the story Amazon has... endured persistent pressure from its own shareholders for salesmanship of recognition to law enforcement agencies. Okay, so this is like not the first story of its kind that keeps coming up. I do think that while a school district is considering it, which, by the way, how tone deaf do you have to be to employ something like this in a public school on children? I don't know. It's kind of crazy. This is a couple weeks after the JetBlue story. Someone complained on Twitter that JetBlue is, and they're not the only one, JetBlue is using facial recognition in lieu of passport screening at domestic airports that had international destinations. And so at onboarding, as they're boarding aircraft, they're, you know, it's scanning their face. And apparently you can opt out for that, but...
You have to opt out.
It's too late if you've already looked into the camera. That's a whole thing. But this is more and more what we keep talking about. It's becoming increasingly trivial to employ this type of technology.
Not only, yeah, exactly. I know we talked about that New York Times article on using a system that was less than $100 and applying to a public camera
and Bryant Park. That was part of the privacy project. They, Bryant Park, New York, they accessed publicly available camera feeds. Like, you see these surf cams, like webcams that you can like look at the tide. This camera and series of cameras at Bryant Park were meant so that you can see, you know, if the lawn was open for people to go lay out on the lawn. And they used it to, you know, basically map facial recognition to people's corporate headshots on websites of businesses that border Bryant Park to see who was coming in and out. Scary stuff. Its impact to commerce, probably dubious, but we did talk on an episode not too long ago about the implications of camera-laden stores, you know, like Amazon Go. And, you know, there's another store of innovation that Walmart launched recently that are very, you know, AI camera, you know, machine vision powered. We're all going to have to get okay with this.
My view on this is, like, when we've talked about this before, this is just another example of, like, the fact that institutions, whether they're public or private, are ready to start using this kind of technology. I was reading an article in The Atlantic by Derek Thompson, a recent article about a tale of two surveillance states. And basically, like, there's, you know, there's some frightening parallels between what's happening in East New York and with states, you know, around the world that are using surveillance technology. I don't want to go too dark down this road, but effectively, I think the point is the technology is there. Right. Any retailer right now could be using this technology, and it's not just facial recognition. We're talking about machine vision. And actually, this school was going to use machine vision to identify 10 different types of guns as well. The point is,
I mean, that's okay. That's novel. Like, that's useful.
Certainly is useful. But I think that retailers are going to have great use cases for it as well. You know, let alone theft prevention and loss prevention. Like, there's all kinds of use cases for this.
You're on camera, computer is deciphering the images or not. You're on camera everywhere you go in public.
But if you can connect the face, which gets connected to your account, and you can identify what items you're walking out with in your cart or in your arms, you can tell if they're being paid for on the spot.
Right. In the words of Gary Vaynerchuk, we'll always trade privacy for convenience.
Exactly.
Right,
it's happening. Like, this is happening.
Right.
If it's happening in public schools, then it's happening. You know, retailers are going to be using it any minute.
Yeah. I mean, okay, they did put a pause to the program. Sure. Okay.
Your turn.
Well, I'm going to tie this into a story that I think is somewhat interesting. So I don't know that I ever talked about it on this show, but it ties in to something else, to a story that came across our desk this week. Okay, so did I ever talk on Future Commerce about Entire World? Did I talk about this yet?
I don't think you have yet on the show.
So I went kind of nuts about it on Twitter and on LinkedIn. So there is a website called theentireworld.com. They are what I would describe as a Gen X brandless apparel brand. They have a very interesting user experience. They have their site experience is like nothing you've ever seen. It's like if Instagram and WhatsApp had a baby with an e-commerce website. And as you can hear, in the background, you know, through my speakers, they have music that just eerie music that plays. They have their merchandising is very, you know, Instagram like, in that, you know, it's endless scroll with your thumbs, and like a lot of discovery is like full page. There's text that overlays kind of everywhere. It's a very non-standard e-commerce experience, like completely eschews any kind of normative that we have in what we consider to be e-commerce. In fact, they don't even really have categories like tops and bottoms. It's like men and women. That's it. That's all you get. You want to see our products? You got to scroll. And which is very discovery oriented and very sensory based. I'm very, very impressed with it. So when I said that I think that these guys are onto something and that they would be the cutting edge, they're the one blazing the trail of where e-commerce is heading. People said I was absolutely crazy. People told me I was freaking nuts, that this is an outlier. It's weird. People don't even know how to navigate the site. And I told them they're all wrong. And I said, you watch, right? People are tired of samey. People don't want the same experience everywhere they go. People want to discover, right? We want to figure things out. Like, that's part of what makes you human, right? It's not just, you know, let's all drive toward the same three e-commerce experiences, you know, that Amazon has tested and perfected through, you know, rigorous conversion rate optimizations over 10 years to teach us how to be little monkeys who keep pressing the dopamine hit of the buy button. Okay, so I said, just wait, there will be another brand that does it. And by Jove, they've done it. Nike has created a site that really does pretty much the same thing. It looks and feels very similar to what this experience is for the entire world. So NikeCircularDesign.com is a sort of how do I explain what Nike Circular Design is? It's basically a materials and sort of ethos brand positioning over everything from materials sourcing, sustainability, design, and supply chain. I would say like it's a Bible for all of those things. And so they outline their principles from material choices, cyclability, green chemistry, versatility, durability, circular packaging. It's a brand site that basically positions them as, you know, a brand of circularity. But when you look at the way that the site is created, when you look at how you interact with the site, it is very much in the vein of this UI UX that completely eschews any kind of normative that we have in UX. Okay, I'm going somewhere with this. Not to say that, hey, I'm right and you guys are wrong. This is what sites, this is where e-commerce is heading, that is growing up out of the normal analog that we have to the real world of how you shop, where you go to an aisle that has a category and you take it to a checkout. Out on Yahoo Finance today, Ulta Beauty is somehow defying the broader retail trend. According to Yahoo Finance, Ulta has grown its top line by more than sixfold, and its bottom line has grown over 2,400% in the same time frame. Over the past 10 years, stock has surged 3,845%, beating every benchmark. In the U.S.,
it's all those hair products you're buying.
It's all the hair products I'm buying. I'm a huge fan of Ulta. Just a couple data points, which I think are really interesting. They have over 25,000 products across 500 brands. They're one of the only pure play beauty businesses in the retail space with, you know, no one publicly traded that's anywhere close to them. They are somehow bucking the retail closure trend, and they're looking to open 70 to 80 stores annually for the next several years. And they're shifting a massive amount of their customers to omni-channel customers by focusing on e-commerce. And do you know what I think the difference is with Ulta from everybody else? Is that they don't follow the merchandising norm. I think that Ulta is the real-world equivalent of reinventing what the store experience is like, because they're not bound by what we've done in the past. They've completely rethought what the retail experience is like. They don't put shampoos all together. They allow you to shop by brand. They organize discrete areas of the store to focus on the things that you want to interact with, but they also provide services in the same spot. And they allow you to basically interact with and try any of the products by providing the services that sell, that you would use those products in the store. I think that Ulta is the IRL equivalent of where digital is going with the entire world, Nike circular design, and other design trends that are challenging what we consider to be the norm. And that's my monologue.
So I...
Merchandising is an asset, right? And the way that you merchandise...
That's an awesome idea.
Differentiate you in your category.
When I look at real world or...
The entire world.
Entire world and Nike circular design. When I see these, I think like early phase Chris Milk in terms of like design style and sort of the outside the box thinking. But if I look at what Chris Milk is doing now, it's well past this. And, you know, so I guess what I'm getting at is...
I pretend to know who Chris Milk is and I Google it. Oh, the TED Talk guy. I got it.
He's done a few TED Talks. He's also like...
Yeah, he's the VR TED... I mean, that's how I know him, is from the VR TED Talk.
So pre his VR TED Talks, he did some really interesting stuff with web and music, and he did some stuff with like the Arcade Fire back on Neon Bible. And like, sure. He's an innovator in the web and design space. And... Some of his early stuff is kind of what I'm seeing here with Entire World and Nike Circular Design. And I guess what I'm getting at is I don't see Ulta as that. I do think you're onto something with merchandising being an asset and like being really thoughtful and like forward thinking there. And what I see Ulta doing is like looking at web and being thoughtful about their sort of web efforts, and then saying, wait a minute, like shoppers are not shopping the same way anymore. I don't see them as an Entire World sort of example. I think that the people that, you know, the businesses that are, you know, that are doing what Entire World and Nike Circular Design are doing, those businesses are maybe something like Rituals or like businesses that are like, out on even more cutting edge of design.
I think Rituals is very much about the experience. So I think you're onto something there, right? Like the cup of tea when you walk in, the we want you to stay, don't be in a hurry to go, like we were going to massage your hand. Yes, that is the retail experience that everybody's talking about.
The Nike Reserve Roastery might be a good example the Starbucks Reserve Starbucks Roastery. Reserve.
Yeah.
Starbucks Reserve
Roastery. It's the other Pacific Northwest brand.
Right, exactly. Right. Got a lot of good stuff going up here in Seattle, you know. The Starbucks Reserve Roastery brought in a really cutting edge designer, and of course now the name is escaping me, to design their store on Pike Place in Seattle. It is, the store itself is a work of art. And the experience is like, for sort of a mass market brand, it's certainly unparalleled.
And Nike's House of Innovation is very similar to that, right? Like there's a sensory component. There's a put your hands on it component, right? For sure.
There's a, we don't care about like standard merchandising thought processes.
Completely.
We're all about making this like a sensory and like outside the box design experience that you're going to enjoy. And honestly, if you do something like that, be prepared to have to innovate a lot, because people are going to copy you and you know what you're doing.
But itself can become stale. I think the thing that Alt is doing is they keep reinventing it. They're not saying, you know what, our customers want to shop by brand. We are now a categorized by brand store. They're learning from what their omni-channel customers are doing, and they continue to innovate and change it around.
Commerce is brought to you by PayPal. Did you know cart abandonment is 86% higher on mobile than desktop? PayPal has collaborated with 15 Magento system integrators in high conversion to help close the mobile gap while delivering an improved buying experience. The Mobile E-Commerce Optimization Initiative was formed to understand why the gap in mobile and desktop conversions persist and to provide practical industry insights to help e-commerce providers succeed in mobile sales. Participating merchants can choose from a range of standardized checkout optimization experiments that make sense for their business model. For additional details on how to get involved, results to date, and testing methodology, visit mobileoptimize.org today.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries. For every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll, Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. From recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com and be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com.
We made a joke about on our Twitter not so long ago about, you know, DSW piloting a nail salon in, you know, in its shoe stores. I think that having those kinds of services where they make sense, like having those sort of services live alongside other products that are complementary, like, you know, the Tom's coffee shop, like that's you know, that's
the Burger King subscription box.
Yeah, Arby's Birch Box collab.
Back to our last episode.
but I do think that that is going to be the new norm. But even that itself will become stale. What yes. I'm saying is that Ulta is one machine vision implementation away from having a true all they need is just walk out, you know, shopping, and they have basically a real life e-commerce store, right? Yeah. That is what they have. And totally. I'm saying that e-commerce has to transcend what a real life e-commerce store could become to another thing that we can't even begin to imagine. And that is,
imagining it.
Well, fine. But some guy who had a TED talk one time might be imagining it, but I think brands that we didn't know about, that are new and exciting and capturing the imagination of an unaffiliated generation. Gen X has no expectations of what e-commerce should be like because they're just starting to engage in it. And they expect that the World Wide Web looks like Instagram. They don't expect that there is a top rail with a promo bar and a pop-up, you know, from Bounce Exchange that says, I'm a schmuck and I don't like to save 15% and close the window. Like, these are not tactics that will work on the next generation. We have to reinvent that. And brands like
Gen Z.
No, I mean, I meant Gen Z. Did I say Gen X? Yeah, God help me. Yeah. I mean, Gen Z. That is the next generation of people who have a completely different experience in their minds, because the way that they interact with the World Wide Web is not the way that you and I grew up interacting with the World Wide Web. And we have to throw off the old norms to engage that generation in a new way. I think e-commerce looks a lot more like Instagram in 10 years than anyone really realizes.
I don't think it's going to look like Instagram. I think it's going to look like something else. We haven't really pictured it yet. I think Instagram's getting stale, at least in its current form. And I think that
2 billion people disagree with you, but okay.
You mean like maybe 500 million people disagree with me?
No.
Like 3/4 of them are fake.
Oh, that was a whole story past week. 3 billion people purged off of Facebook for fake accounts, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I really do think that I was just reading another article in The Atlantic. I do read The Atlantic a lot.
Dude, it's all you ever quote. You should really try some other media at some point.
I know, it's so good, though. The Atlantic's amazing. If you're not reading The Atlantic, you're missing out.
Listen, Ulta is bucking the trend. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Ulta is bucking the trend in a time where retail is not doing so hot, okay?
Yes.
And our traditional in-store brick-and-mortar retail is especially like very ultra category specific. Dress Barn, right? I'm not saying that like they have anything to do. I'm just saying like very, very category specific retail. You know, Ulta is not having to reduce itself to cheap tricks to keep growing. And by the way, it's not like they're promotion heavy either. You know, like at most once every couple months, they offer you $350 off $25. They're not discounting heavily. They're differentiating themselves, you know, by merchandising and category. I think that's really interesting. All right. Sorry. You've got the next show.
Well, now, since you brought up Dress Barn really quickly, I know that we talked about this a couple episodes ago, but I do want to bring up something that we were talking about after that show. And that is, you know, there's, you know, a lot of articles that have come out about how retail is in transformation. It's not, you know, it's not a real retail apocalypse and e-commerce is growing. And, you know, one thing that we talked about that I thought was worth mentioning was this whole retail apocalypse thing and all these store closures, these brands, one thing that's really clear is that they did not do a very good job of iterating themselves and like staying up to current cultural trends. Like, I think that if you look at a lot of the brands that have failed, they just weren't relevant. They aren't relevant. And there are several more of them that aren't relevant. And you look at, the Abercrombie CEO just finally came out and said something to the effect of, on just this like past week, that smaller stores are the future. It's like, yeah, that's right. You finally caught on to that a little bit.
a brand that, by the way, was a digitally native vertical online brand, five years ago.
I just wanted to bring up as a quick caveat, since you mentioned Dress Barn, just a side note. Like, I think that brands that are not taking current cultural trends seriously or they're addressing them in a really like false way, they're the ones that are suffering, like Dress Barn or like L Brands. Like, I think that they've missed out on stuff recently and haven't iterated.
why is it that L Brands, okay, Victoria's Secret parent company, why is it Victoria's Secret has no discernible sustainability message?
Right. Why? Good question.
I think we should write a whole hit piece on this because the world that we're moving into is a world where consumers care about that sort of thing, and it's a pretty noticeable thing in this day and age when you don't even have a message that anyone could recall in recent memory. I feel like we should dive deeper into that, but I digress.
Okay, so next story. Here's my story. That was just an aside. Jeremy King has been replaced.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Former CTO of Walmart left and went to Pinterest. Walmart just hired a new CTO who's also been given the title of CDO. And this person, Suresh Kumar, is former Google. Mm-hmm. Before that, Microsoft. Before that, Amazon. Before that, IBM.
Wow.
This is a technology guy.
Well, because Walmart is not a retailer. They're a technology company that just happens to sell things. I couldn't even get through the... I know. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But I do think it's interesting. I think it's a really interesting hire. I think that Walmart is making...
They're making moves.
Big moves. I'm not going to pass judgment on it yet. I'd love to hear, more about what his strategy is going to be before I say if it's a good move. Every person's different. But I like his resume. I think that it's a really smart move in terms of resume.
Well, yes. Also, Walmart, for what it's worth, recently, lost, Walmart has had some senior leadership move on to other technology companies. So it's not surprising that they're going to, continue to hire and retain, big hitters from other, who have a track record of success. Right. So,
No, I totally agree. I think that, I think it's interesting that not only is he taking on the title of CTO, but also CDO.
By the way, you know, 3 years ago, when we talked about who was changing retail, Walmart was not in that conversation. We were not talking about Walmart from a technology player perspective. We were saying, wow, Walmart bought Bonobos?
Right.
Wow, Walmart is acquiring ModCloth and Moose Jaw? Interesting.
Jet, started with Jet.
Well, Jet, yeah. I just find it interesting that we take them seriously now. Like, we absolutely take them seriously.
Yeah. I just think, so here's the other thing that's interesting. He's going to report directly to Doug McMillon, who's the CEO of Walmart. Mm-hmm. And they actually do, Doug McMillon released a memo to their internal teams. And he really does differentiate between Suresh's role as CTO and Suresh's role as CDO. And so I would recommend going and reading that memo. It's available on TechCrunch and other places. At the beginning of the year, one of my predictions was Walmart was going to be more than just a thorn in Amazon's side. I think that this is a great move towards that.
In the words of Brian Lang, I don't disagree with you.
Gosh. I don't think I've said that on the show yet. Maybe once. all right. What's your last? One more. It's all you.
You covered Abercrombie and Fitch, kind of, sort of.
I did.
Bonobos, try before you buy. I mentioned Bonobos. Can we?
Yeah, there's another good transition there. Yeah,
I mean, since we mentioned Bonobos, like, we'll end it with this retail dive. Sort of. confirming there's going to be one of these every week. We should just make a recurring segment of subscription, like, one by one businesses that, you know, come up with some sort of like low risk retail fashion try before you buy or subscription service model. Retail Dive actually reporting on a Digiday story that 65% or 35% of the service users of Bonobos who are doing the try before you buy service are new customers, and the remaining are 65% repeat shoppers. And the idea here is that, you know, so Bonobos has had these like small showroom only
guide shops.
Right, they call them guide shops. This idea was that it's not a full service store. Bonobos calls it guide shop. So the idea here is that in the guide shop, you don't shop and then take it home. In this case, you can actually ship the clothes to you, try them on, and then buy them if you like them. If you're not, you send them back. That's the Stitch Fix model, right? The Stitch Fix model.
Right.
It's Amazon Wardrobe.
Right. Yeah, it's Amazon Wardrobe.
Right. So the idea here is
a phenomenal experience.
Right. You seem to be a big fan of that. I didn't have a great experience with it, but I'm willing to try it again.
Not all Amazon's fashion stuff is created equal, for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Some of their lines are not as good as their other lines. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I find it interesting that this is, you know, I think there's plenty of other brands who are going to continue to do this. I think people want to have some, you know, assurance that the products that you buy online, they're not stuck with, and it's not going to be a hassle to return. And if you bake the return into the actual product purchase experience itself, that there's an expectation you'll be returning something a la Warby Parker, right? Then I think, you know, it's a hit. And if it's a brand that you trust like Bonobos, and it's not necessarily like a recurring service like Stitch Fix, yeah, this is super interesting.
I think what's nice about this is, as well, is it's predictable, right? For the retailer. One of the troubles with online purchasing, and you can look up, there's a lot of stats about this online. I did some research in a presentation that I gave to Walmart a while back, to Walmart Labs. about returns and the effect that they were having. It's a, you know, billions of dollar problem. Mm. And it's because people are, they're bracketing their purchases. And so they're doing this anyway. They're going to buy 2 to 3 sizes. They're going, you know, with free shipping and free returns. And then they're going to return the ones that they don't like, or they don't fit them properly, I should say. It's all the same style. And the problem with that is it's unexpected. The thing that's great about this is people are doing this anyway, so you're leaning into it.
Right.
You know, you're able to predict what your return costs are going to be as a result of it. So it's smart. Of course, being able to solve the size problem to begin with is really the way to cut this off, you know, and save money on all of, you know, all the waste on shipping. But that we're not quite there yet. There's still some stuff ahead.
I want to leave us with one more footnote and then we'll wrap it up.
Can I have a footnote too?
Go ahead. You do yours first.
One thing that I think is super cool about Bonobos right now is that they've actually grown under Walmart and they've done really well.
Yeah.
So this is one of many strategies that they've recently employed. They've also debuted its first women's collection. And last year they launched plus size lines.
Yeah.
And they've grown up 74% from August of 2017. And they're up 34% from the year prior. I guess my point is, like, experimentation and innovation in retail, it's netting real results for them, and you know, getting beyond their core competency, which has really traditionally been men's clothes that fit well, right? They're going beyond it. They're trying more interesting things, and they're turning a profit as a result. They're doing well, so. I love hearing a story like that. And I think it plays really well into a lot of stuff we've been talking about.
So that's, I agree with all of that. I'm going to take a sort of frustrated footnote here. Everything that we're talking about, right? This future commerce, like all of these things that people are putting into place now, all of these programs, all of this consumer expectation that they have around being able to engage with brands like this, especially when they're doing direct to consumer, like especially when they're shopping at brands that are direct to consumer brands. Not a single one of these brands are doing this with off the shelf software, right? E-commerce platforms do not do these things. And to be a differentiated e-commerce brand, to have a digital commerce experience that gives customers the experience that they desire, whether it is an Instagram discovery model that is, you know, crazy, you know, eerie music playing in the background with, you know, uncategorized, you know, scroll with your thumbs till you die entire world, or it's, you know, or Bonobos, you know, build out your box and ship it and you can ship it back, or even Stitch Fix to that, you know, to that degree, or even any subscription model or rental model, like what we talked about Urban Outfitters doing last week. None of this. In fact, even the way that you shop online, the, you know, category search and discovery is very different to what e-commerce platforms do out of box. I think it's awesome that this is where we're heading. I think it's very interesting that the platforms are so far behind in digital consumer experience. In fact, most customers expect, especially if it's a beauty brand like Ulta, like when I go to Ulta's website, I expect that they know that I'm a man and that they know my age and that I have, you know, oily skin. And I want you to remember that. And I want you to tailor my experience to that. And I want you to ask me questions periodically to see what I'm looking for and how you can refine how you make that experience better for me. E-commerce platforms don't do that either. Not out of the box.
It's too much? What if it's too much? Like, what if this is a complaint that's not necessary? And what I mean by that is, what if, now that's one you could have quoted.
Yeah, right there. Yeah.
I think what I'm seeing is, there's too much functionality to contain it all in one spot.
Sure.
Like, there's too many things to do. And actually, I bet you that a lot of retailers are using some off-the-shelf software but there's a lot of connection points now. There are more connection points in e-commerce right now than I think than I can count. Like right. there's so many things there's you have so many. To do.
So many.
Yeah. And so
the consumer expectation is at an all-time high. I believe that, like, can the entire ecosystem survive on a handful of third-party tech partners that power those experiences, right?
Or does there need to be more consolidation? Is that what you're getting at?
Right. I mean, once upon a time, layered navigation and, like, slice and dice was a thing that only Certona and SLI did, right? Once upon a time. And now it's part and parcel of every e-commerce platform's base offering. I'm hoping for a day where subscription and
guided commerce
are the and normative
clienteling,
right? And clienteling. It's what we keep talking about.
Yeah.
Ooh, I want to know what you think. Yeah. Tell us what you think. We want to hear what does your e-commerce experience look like at your brand? You can tell us what you think over at futurecommerce.fm. And we need your likes and subscribes. By the way, we are in the top 10 in shopping now on iTunes in Germany. And we are number 4, I believe. No, number 1 in shopping in Sweden. I think that's right. That sounds right. We are a global e-commerce podcast.
We're a shopping commerce. We're a shopping podcast. Yeah, not a commerce podcast.
We're a global retail podcast, to keep moving up the ranks, we would love your feedback. Please do that at iTunes or Google Play. Leave us a 5-star and tell us what you think. Lend your voice to the conversation. Futurecommerce.fm. And hey, send us an email. Philip with 2 L's at futurecommerce.fm or Brian with an I at futurecommerce.fm. All right, we'll see you next week. And
retail tech moves fast.
Future commerce is moving faster. You are on it today.
Oh, yeah.
Peace.